And last week with the kids at church, we were looking at the Christmas star. And all around us at the moment, there seems to be light in all sorts of areas. I just want to ask you a question. Just make sure you're awake at the start. What are you studying at the moment? What series are you going through here at the moment? Just wanted to double check. Ephesians, excellent. That's really good. So I think that was in my head. Stuart didn't actually ask me to speak on anything specifically today, but I did actually want to speak on something in Ephesians. So it's actually going to wrap up a lot of the stuff, so it'll make sure you're listening. So if you think, well, I've just heard this a couple of weeks ago, then hopefully it will encompass some of the stuff that you've been looking at anyway. Any of you know who that is? Edison, yeah. Thomas Edison. So the patent for the electric lamp with carbon filament was filed in 1879 by Thomas Edison. By 2009, that was about the time when the incandescent light bulbs, or the old style light bulbs, started to be phased out. We were buying in this country, or in the UK, around 200 million light bulbs a year. I looked at some of the statistics for worldwide. There is an enormous amount of light bulbs that are bought each year. As I was saying with the kids, it's always we like taking the kids around this time of year to look at people's Christmas lights as well. People are starting to put the Christmas lights up. I think probably those of you will know there's certain roads around here which always seem to light up better than other roads. We were just saying that our house is always miserable. We never put any external lights out, so we need to actually correct that and start getting some lights up. But we tended to see it, what we tend to do, it's always the ones opposite the garage on the Norwich Road always used to do a really good display down here. But we're surrounded by lights, and we love light. As people, we tend to love lights, have nice, brightly lit buildings. We don't like it when it's dark outside particularly. And Ephesians 5 talks of us being children of light. I just encourage you, if you've got Bibles, if you could turn to Ephesians. Hopefully you're looking at Ephesians all the time and you're studying at home because you're going through it here as well. But I'm going to go through a number of bits in Ephesians, linking into what I'm saying with my central theme this morning. I'm just going to read through this passage from Ephesians 5, 1 to 21. Excuse me. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be any obscenity, foolish talk or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For this reason you can be sure, no immoral, impure or greedy person, such a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. It's the key thing I want to think about today. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It's shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. That is why it is said, "Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Just want to look at four particular areas within that today. So first of all, where we have come from. So if we are Christians today, just want to look at where we've come from. Secondly, just want to ask the question, who can be a child of the light? Thirdly, what does being a child of the light look like? And fourthly, just have a look at how do we live as children of the light? In verse 5, verse 1, it starts off, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children. So there's a big therefore that sits in the middle of it, which means that something's gone before it. And so we're looking at why should we be imitators of God? So this is looking at where we have come from. This is the reason behind the instruction that we've been given. Chapter 4, verse 32, just as in Christ, God forgave you. If you're a Christian today, you're a forgiven person. All your sins has been dealt with. It's all been in the past. No matter what you've done in your past, if we look at Ephesians, a great example. That's why Stuart's taking you through it. There's some fantastic passages in Ephesians, and I've really enjoyed, as I've just prepared for this, just rereading through passages of Ephesians. Ephesians 1, verse 7 and 8. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. Chapter 2, verses 1 to 6. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the Spirit, who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Like the kids today, when they were stumbling around a little bit, if they hadn't have had their guide, they'd have been crashing into things when they're blindfolded. That's how we were before we knew Christ. Before we had a life with Christ, we were living in darkness. We were blind. We were, as I say, we were crashing about. We were dead. The Bible describes us as dead in our transgressions. But in Christ, we've been made alive. All of that has been dealt with. That's where we've come from. That's where we need to remember as our starting point today. We were dead. Now we're alive. We're alive in Christ. Like Paul, when the scales came down from his eyes, suddenly we can see again. We can see the light again. We can see the trees again. See the flowers again. We can see the beauty of things around us again. I remember quite a few years ago, we went on a night hike from here as a youth group. We went with Tony. We were out by Woodbridge. We were walking through the woods at Woodbridge. For some bizarre reason, I've never quite worked out why, we all decided that having no torches and following our night vision would be great. It wouldn't have been quite as light as that, but that's sort of the thing that we would be looking for. We'd be thinking of coming through the woods. What it actually turned out, it was like that. That was pretty much where we got to. And it was the darkest I've ever experienced outdoors. And I couldn't see in front of my, about a foot in front. And we were walking along like this. Absolutely no idea where we were going at all. Just one foot in front of each other. But in Christ, we've been made alive, we're forgiven, we're new creations, the lights have come on. So I just want to get that into our heads right at the start of what we're looking at. And as you think about Ephesians, just to keep reiterating to yourself that all the time, that you're now a new creation. All of that's been dealt with. We don't need to go back to the past. We don't need to go back to the things that used to bind us in the past. We don't need to go back to former sins. We don't need to go back to former problems. They've been dealt with by the cross. That's where we're starting from today, yeah? We're new creations if we're in Christ. We're new creations. We're starting again. Secondly, just looking at who can be a child of the light. Chapter 2, verses 11 to 13. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, that done in the body by the hands of men, remember, at the time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. Then in verse 19, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. In these early church days, these teachings were massive, huge teachings. It's the inclusion of the Gentiles through the blood of Christ. I was just reading in my notes last night about when the vision comes and Cornelius is brought along as well. And these are huge teachings. They're things that the early church had to battle with. Well, hang on a minute, you're including Gentiles in all of this. Yes. Yes, I'm including Gentiles in this message. The gospel message is for the Gentiles, the people who are outside of God's chosen people. The barriers have come down. This has all been done for you. I'm going to share a little bit later on just about some stories of people whose baptisms I've been privileged to be at over the last year or so. And there are an absolute variety of people who I've been able to share in their baptisms. People of different ages, different sexes, different nationalities, different backgrounds, different journeys. There aren't no barriers in Christ. Whoever believes shall not perish, but shall have eternal life. So that's the second thing I want you to think about today. If you're not a Christian here today, don't sit there thinking that there's something in your life that is a blocker to you being able to come to Christ. There are no blockers for you. As long as you accept, there are no blockers. The blockers have been taken away in Christ. He wants to accept everyone. Eternal life is available for everyone. He'll deal with the mess. He'll deal with the mess. He just wants you to come and accept and believe. So what does being a child of light look like? To take a walk through Ephesians is taking a walk through what it looks like to be a child of the light. It's a subject that follows all the way through the book. It's a great book, Ephesians, and it's got some great teaching in it. Just in chapter 4 alone, we see this, so being humble, patient, bearing with one another, speaking the truth in love, guarding what you say, building each other up, being kind, being compassionate, living a life of love, being an imitator of God. These are some of the things that it points us towards, that if we are a child of the light, this is how we should be living. These are the things that should be evidenced in our life. Philippians 2, verse 14 says, do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault, in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of truth. So if we want to go out, if we want to take the gospel out, that's how we're going to be, shining as stars. I just want to also just point you back to Matthew. So it's the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, verse 13. And Jesus is talking here, and he's talking about being salt and light. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's from verse 13. It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everything in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. I want to tell you some stories now about how being a child of light has impacted individuals, people's lives. These are all stories from people that I know, people that I've either been to their baptisms or go to church with. But they're just great examples of the impact of being a child of light has had on their lives. Last weekend, I was at a baptismal service. Two people got baptized. One of them was a fella who'd brought up in a Christian home, fallen into the wrong company, had family breakup problems in his own relationships, struggled with drug addiction, went through treatment for drug addiction. His mum been praying for him faithfully for over 20 years. It was an amazing thing for his dad as well. Obviously, been praying as well. His dad, the family go to Stoke Park in Ipswich. So we had a whole load of people from Stoke Park come over to share with us on the baptism last weekend to see this fella who's been faithfully prayed for over 20 years who's now clean of drugs, has now become a Christian.
Justin.
Yeah, so it's a fantastic story. So, and you'll know, do you know the family?
Yeah.
Yeah, so they've been through some tough miles.
I stayed in my home when I was taking drugs many years ago.
Right, come back to that. Take that as an example of shining as light as well, because this is what I want to say. It's these sorts of things, it's shining as light. Justin has had people in his dark 20 years who have shone as lights all the way through it. Even though they weren't perhaps seeing results, perhaps it was a struggle for them, they were shining as lights continually. And he knew that he always had people to go back to, and he knows now. He's fantastic. His dad was able to baptize him on Sunday. It's an amazing thing. At the same baptismal service, we had a Polish lady, Sylvia, who got baptized. Sylvia is, she's separated from her family. She's got no job. Which those of you who know about how social services and things like that work, that makes it very difficult for her to get any housing as well. So she's got no housing. So she's now in this situation where she's in the UK, she's got no housing, she's got no job, she's not with her daughter. Things are a real struggle. She was taken in by a family at West Road. And so she's been living with a family at West Road for quite some time. She was also being supported by, we've got a Polish Christian lady in our church who's got alongside her, who's done Bible studies with her. Sylvia has become a Christian and got baptized last weekend. It's fantastic to see how people shining as light in her life has had the influence on her. This is Mandy in the middle. So Mandy, a good friend of mine, she's a single mum and grandma. She's had a tough, tough life. And still has a lot of tough things going on in her life. She moved into accommodation. She had very little money or possessions. She had her daughter and her granddaughter in the house, and her son as well. And she was struggling. She had no church connections or anything like that. Someone who she knew had suggested to her, go and talk to Graham at West Road, because they have a community outreach thing. And she said, I don't want anything to do with church. I don't need a church to help me. But her house was freezing. And said to her, like, go and see Graham. So Graham went to see her and just took her a heater to heat the house. And through that connection, he then got to know her, got to know her son. Her son started coming to the youth work at West Road, encouraged the mum to come along. Her mum's come along to church, thankfully has had a fantastic welcome, has been brought into the family of the church. Mandy's become a Christian. Her son comes to the church. Her son is in our Sunday school groups with us. And it's been great to see her. It was a massive privilege for me to be able to baptise her on the beach at Sizewell in April. That was a huge privilege to see where she's come from and to see the impact of someone shining light by giving her a heater and just showing that practical love into her life. The story from here, many years ago when I was here and we were doing door-to-door up the top end of the estate, and I was welcomed into a house and had a long time talking with the people there. And the reason they welcomed me into the house is because they used to come to Girls Brigade, and they'd had such a good time at Girls Brigade that it was open shop for me to go into their house. So it was someone shining a light from years before into their life, then gave that open door later on. Another one as well is a fella who helps us out now at Sporting. He's had a rough, he's probably late 50s, early 60s. He's had a rough couple of years. And as a result of that, he's come back to West Road. And the reason he's come back to West Road is because he remembers that many years ago when he was a rough kid, causing all sorts of havoc, Nigel Taylor, who some of you may know, Nigel Taylor reached out to him and his group of mates and looked after them and didn't worry so much about all the trouble that they may have caused. And he reached out to them and cared for them. And so Dewey, now, he's come back to West Road, not yet a Christian, we're working on that, but Dewey's come back to West Road and he's helping out at Sporting 87 because he knows that people have shone a light into his life back in the day and he wants to give something back now. Yeah, and that's from a long time back. That people have shone light in. So I just wanted to give you those practical things because this is the outworking of what the Bible is teaching us, of people shining as lights and having huge impacts into people's lives. One of the things that I've really found over the last few years, when I hear people's testimonies at their baptisms, the reoccurring theme is the impact that individuals have had in their lives. They don't stand there and say, I turned up out of the blue at a service and heard a fantastic Tim Banks sermon, and so therefore I became a Christian. That's not what they say. They often say how someone's got a lot alongside them in their time of trouble, how someone's just spent a bit of time walking some miles with them, how they've just helped them out when they're in trouble, how they've prayed with them, how they've given them a heater, how they've welcomed them in when they've come to church and just made sure that they feel at home when they're in church, and they made sure that they're never alone. And it's those are the things that the Bible's talking to us about practically when it talks about shining as a light and living as a child of the light. So how do we live as practically for ourselves as children of light? Firstly, I want you to all think about the communities in which you've been placed. Whether that's a work community, a neighbourhood community, a sports club community, a friendship group, it might be a book group you're into. And there are all sorts of things that we're all involved in. I think the latest statistics, and you always take these a little bit of a pinch of salt, never quite know. Latest statistics are that only 4% of the population regularly go to church on a Sunday. So if we're relying on what we do here on a Sunday to reach out, it ain't going to work, unfortunately. Because that means there's 96% of the population is out there on a Sunday when the 4% of us are in here. So we've got to think about what we're doing when we step outside these doors when Sunday finishes. Just as an example from my own circle, there are 151,000 affiliated sports clubs, so of all sorts of different sports, in the UK. Oh, that's in England, actually. That's the Sport England statistic. 151,000. Of that, the average number of members of those sports clubs is 140. So those of you who are very good at your maths, you know you're way up into the millions. If they assume that there's some sort of crossover, that people may be affiliated to more than one sports club, you are still looking at around a quarter of the population of the country are affiliated to a sports club. Now, I give you that as an example because I'm part of a network of chaplains who are involved in sports chaplains around the UK and internationally. There's a statistic that they quote because one of the things they would love to do is get a Christian who shines in every single sports club in the UK. Because if there was someone shining, that would be probably a quarter of the population just in sports clubs who would have a shining impact in their lives. If you add to that all of the other groups that go on. I was at a church a while back and I just got them to break out into small groups and just to think about in your community all of the different groups where people get together and meet to do something. So whether it's a coffee morning, you're great to see the coffee morning thing going on. That's going to be a great ministry. Mums and tots and stuff. You know, if you're doing a mums and tots here, be intentional about your mums and tots when people come in. Think about when you go out. Think about is it your parent groups? Is it your group of people you meet with at work? Just think about those groupings and think about, right, this is me now. This is my community that God has put me in. God has put me in a unique position. This is my interest group. I don't need to create some new interest to go and do it. It's something I'm already interested in, something that I've got a passion for. And I've then, by virtue of that, you'll have a passion for the people that you're with. And then start asking God, right, help me to be a shining light in and amongst this community in which you've already placed me. To be salt and light and make a real impact into that area. Now, I acknowledge that it's far easier for me to stand at the front and say these things than it is to actually do them. The devil is not interested in making this easy for us at all. I don't know how many of you watch I'm a Celebrity? Is it just me? How many of you are going to admit to watching I'm a Celebrity? Yeah. So these are a load of sort of celebs who go into the jungle and are filmed for 4 odd weeks or something. But what struck me as I was preparing for this and watching I'm a Celebrity was, what struck me was, I was thinking, it'd be interesting if before I got up to speak, someone showed a video clip of the last 4 weeks of Tim Banks' life up on the screen. I'm not sure you'd still want me to speak at the service. Because it is tough, and we get tempted all the time, and we struggle, and we fall. Now, just as some pointers, so the Bible encourages us to encourage each other and to build each other up. So do this as a community. So as you're looking for Ephesians, as you're all looking at how do we live lives that are more of a reflection of what God wants us to live, Do it as a community thing. Think about this as a community thing. Think about how you can encourage the person who sits next to you at church, how you can encourage them to live as shining lights the next week. Think about how they can encourage you as well. Don't do these things in isolation. I would also encourage you, if you don't already, to have an accountability partner. It's something that I've been doing for quite a number of years, and it's been a real blessing to me and a real help to me. I started here when I was here with John Mason. So me and John used to meet up, and the idea is that you get with someone who you trust, someone you can pray with, and someone you can say to them, these are the areas that I struggle, and you've got to be honest with them. You know, these are the areas I struggle. So I've got a couple of accountability partners at the moment, and I say to them, right, I struggle in this area, this area, and this area. And it may be at a particular time of year, or it may be particular circumstances that you know you're struggling on. So you know that person has got your back. You know they're praying for you. You know that when you're about to go into a situation, you might send them a quick text and say, look, say it's a person that you really struggle with, an individual you struggle with. You might drop them a quick text and say, look, I'm meeting up with Jimbo later on today. Can you pray with me? You know, because you then know on two fronts. One, they're praying for you. And two, the next time you meet them, they're going to ask you, how did you get on with Jimbo? And it is a great thing because it really helps you and really supports you. I found this a real blessing in my life. It's something we try and roll out with everyone at Wesley. We try and get everyone into these accountability groups so that we read the Bible together, we pray together, and we encourage each other and we support each other because we know it's tough. You know, no one's pretending the Christian life is easy. We know it's tough and we need the support of each other to help us live the life the best that we can. And of course, remember, even if we don't have accountability partners, we never walk this path alone. Ephesians 6 tells us, when you get to this, I don't know if you've got to the armour of God yet, you get into the armour of God, gives us the armour of God, tells us to put on the armour of God. I'll leave that for Stuart to go through that. And Ephesians 1, 18 to 21 as well, says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparable great power, that's for us who believe, his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. Hold on to those things. His incomparably great power for us who believe. Chapter 3, verse 16. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his spirit and in your inner being. And verse 20. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. Don't set your sights low in your Christian walk. Yeah, you've got a God who is willing to give you immense power to go out and do work for him. Set your sights high. It says here he's able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. So imagine big, dream big, pray big. Trust in the power that we have in the Father and in the Son and in the Holy Spirit. So when you go out from here today, don't go out thinking, I'm just Tim with all my insecurities and all my weaknesses and all my failings. Know that you're going out with the power of God, the power of the Father, the power of the Son, the power of the Holy Spirit that goes out with you and goes out before you into every situation that you go into. Happy to chat through any of these things and pray through any of these things with you afterwards. It'd be great as well to encourage each other and start talking about, you know, how can you actually live this out as you go out these four walls? How can you start living as children of light? So we're going to sing now. It's one of my favourite hymns, and it's Anne Canning.